Grace to you and peace from God who creates and redeems and sustains all things. Amen. On this third Sunday of Easter, we find Jesus appearing to his disciples. Not as a spirit, not as a ghost, not as an idea, but in the flesh. And the very first thing Jesus does as he stands among his disciples, he says, "Peace be with you." It's such a startling thing to say. They have just witnessed their friend be killed. They have put him in the grave. His body was missing. And suddenly he is among them again. In body. And he says to them, "Peace be with you." Not surprisingly, they were startled and terrified. They thought they were seeing a ghost. And then Jesus says, and I love this scene. I've seen this in a number of different films where they've portrayed this particular moment. And one of my favorites is Jesus, who looks like a 1970s hippie in that movie, says to them, "Well, why are you afraid? Why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet and see that it is I myself. Calm, cool, collected." What I would expect the disciples to do is exactly what I would do, which is to find the nearest emergency exit and get out. But peace be with you. In the words of the church lady, it'll be just fine. And then my favorite line, I think, in the whole post-Easter cycle, and the line I want to concentrate on today. "While in their joy, they were disbelieving and still wondering. He said to them, 'Do you have anything to eat?'" As I think about all of us in this post-Easter day, I wonder how many of us live in that interstitial space between joy and disbelieving. Years and years ago, we had an Easter morning. I don't know what happened, but you all were all here. And I said, "Christ is risen!" And a typical Lutheran response, "He is risen indeed. Hallelujah." I don't know if you were tired or not paying attention, or if it had been one of those years when Easter Vigil ran particularly long. I think that was probably it. I mean, even the choir. Yeah. And so I had to say it again. "Christ is risen." And then you awoke and said, "He is risen indeed. Hallelujah." Maybe sometimes where we live in this post-Easter resurrection world is in that space where we are both have joy and disbelieving. I would go so far as to say that for most of my life, that's where my faith lives. In joy and disbelieving. I think many of us, myself particularly, are caught between a faith that keeps us alive and the struggle against being overwhelmed by a world that insists that the opposite of faith is truth. Particularly around the resurrection, we struggle with the idea that we could in fact live again in the body. That Jesus, having been beaten, crucified on a cross, a sword or a spear stuck in his side, his body put away for 3 days, could then, after all of that, ask for some ahi? It seems impossible. Improbable. And so we as Christian people in these days are called to live in that space between joy and disbelieving. Joy at the faith which has been given us as a gift. Not just that Jesus lived again then, but Jesus, more importantly, lives now in us. That doubt might not be the enemy. Doubt might be the tool which opens us to faith over certainty. Jesus goes on to the disciples and says, "Look, these are my words. And I spoke them to you when I was still with you, and they still apply." And then my second favorite line in the post-Easter cycle, which is why I get to preach today and you get to preach next week, this is that he opened their minds to understand the Scriptures. Part of faith, part of living in a post-Easter, post-resurrection world, is to have both our minds and our hearts opened to the possibility that the Word of Jesus still applies. Again, we face the problem of a world that tells us that it's just sort of irrelevant or foolish. Jesus preaches a gospel of peace. Peace be with you. But the world wants no part of it sometimes. One of my professors once told me, "There is no profit in peace. There is no profit in peace." And a prophet who preaches peace is simply not profitable. And yet the words of Jesus endure through death and resurrection. Words that call us to love one another in deep and abiding ways. Not only to love each other, but to love the stranger and the earth and life with such fervent love that it is an irresistible. "These are my words I spoke to you," Jesus says. And now 2,000 years later, we're still struggling to figure out what those words mean for us. That the Messiah is to die and to suffer death and rise on the third day, and that we live in repentance and forgiveness forever. What does that mean for us these days? Where there are so many powers, so many voices speaking the contrary. So many voices seeking to convince us that not every life matters quite as much. That not every gender is as important as another. That the world is binary. How do we live as witnesses to that love when so many forces push us to profit and not prophecy? To abandon one another when the going gets difficult, or even more, to live only for ourselves. And even worse, maybe, is a kind of approach to Christianity in which there is no room for doubt or wonder or science or fact. I said earlier that doubt is the tool that leads us to have faith over certainty. And in that faith, we experience the deep love of God and the freedom to deeply love one another. In that midst of that faith, so different than certainty, that faith of those early disciples in their joy and disbelief, in the midst of that faith, we also have the freedom to see hope despite the evidence to the contrary. And then act on it. Hope for gender equity and racial equality and the healing of the earth. For me and my joy and disbelief, that is my witness. That can be our witness. Because after all, faith, which the disciples will come to know anew in this encounter with Jesus, faith is not what we believe in, but who we believe. Faith is who we believe. And I wonder these days, what word will we have confidence in? Peace be with you. Will we have confidence in that word or something else? As the disciples gathered that day, they were startled and terrified. And perhaps like us, in our joy and disbelieving as the people of God, we too can continue to be the witnesses that are sent into the world with a gospel of love and a life of faith.